The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, please tell me where you had laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This time I would like to invite the children to come forward for children's time, please. How we doing, everybody? Good, everybody good? Yes, there are Easter eggs there. We'll get to those in just a minute, but good morning. Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's what we say on Easter morning. Well, in past years, I've brought an animal on Easter morning. I brought a little lamb, I brought bunnies, I brought little baby chicks, you know, all the premier A-list Easter animals. So you probably think to yourself, well, Pastor Matt's out of ideas, that's all the Easter animals. But au contraire, bonjour, have you ever heard of the Easter cow? The Easter cow? I would like to welcome Diva, the Holy Cow. Of course, everybody knows the Holy Cow as a part of the Easter story. I'm sure you guys, you left silage out on your front step for the Easter cow to come and bring you treats. No? Nobody's heard of the Easter cow before? Am I the only one?
I've seen that.
Am I the only one who knows the Easter cow? This is Diva.
I've seen that cow.
Have you? Say hi, Diva. Yeah, and all right, so what does a cow have to do with Easter? Do you think I'm grasping at straws a little bit here?
Yeah.
No, well, yeah, a little bit. Well, I'll make it worse because I have an analogy that I think works. Who knows? When cattle are old enough, they're given a brand on them so that if they happen to wander off, people know who they are and who they belong to. And this brand is one that cannot be washed off. It can't come off. It lives with them the rest of their life. It's on them forever. And did you know that you all have been branded as well and marked? You all at your baptism were sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked on your forehead with the cross of Christ forever. The same cross of Christ that Jesus died on and overcame on Easter morning. Jesus is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And because of those crosses, we bear like a brand, like our holy cow here. We have a share of that eternal life because we have been united with Christ in this. Happy Easter, holy cow! How about that? Would you guys like to come and pet Diva, the holy cow? And then you can take an egg with you as you go, and we're going to sing our hymn of the day. Through the written word and spoken word, may we know your living word. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. That'll never happen. When pigs fly, fat chance, no way. When faced with life's challenges, when your backs were up against the ropes and all hope seemed lost, how many of you were told things just like this? Maybe you were told by somebody you trusted. Maybe you even whispered it to yourself, or you shouted it into the mirror because you just knew. You just knew it wasn't possible. And when even hope is too much to bear, it's easier to just let go into cynicism and give in to despair. Whatever you were hoping for, whatever you were praying for, whatever you were wishing for, it was just wholly unbelievable. That'll never happen. It's not possible. No chance. But on a day like today, we cast those thoughts aside because Easter is a holy, unbelievable day. On behalf of myself, Pastor Dana, and the staff at All Saints Lutheran Church, happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I'm reminded on this day of a little boy that was sitting right back there in the corner. And when I said, "He is risen," he very appropriately yelled back, "Hooray!" Which I think is just perfect. That's better than any sermon I could give. I could just leave it there and you all could get to your Easter brunch a little bit earlier. But I do have a few things I want to say before we go. Whether you are a longtime member or a first-time visitor, you are welcome here at Easter, here at All Saints Lutheran Church. Whether you felt the call to run to the tomb yourself or grandma dragged you here by the ear, I am so glad that you are here. To hear the story once again, to remember the holy, unbelievable miracle of Easter morning, and to go from this place energized to tell the story and to spread the good news. What I find fascinating about the four gospel accounts we have of our Easter story is that they all encounter the resurrected Jesus in different ways. Matthew focuses on the women who discover the empty tomb, and the Gospel of Matthew focuses on the resurrected Jesus who appears to the disciples in Galilee. Luke's account, however, shows Jesus appearing not in the locked upper room or in the garden, but Jesus appears to the disciples on their walk to Emmaus. Mark's original gospel account of Easter does not portray the risen Jesus at all. Mark talks of the empty tomb, and that's where he leaves it. That's it. Just an empty tomb for Mark. John's gospel that we read this morning focuses on Mary's personal account with her Lord, as well as Thomas's well-remembered doubt, which happens a little later on. But I notice that not only does each gospel portray the Easter story in its own unique way, I notice that each person who experiences the resurrection and the resurrected Jesus, they needed something different in order to recognize that their Lord and Savior, their friend, was no longer dead but risen, just as he said he would. Each person needed something different so that they could believe that the holy, unbelievable had happened, and that all of those never gonna happens have actually happened. And what it says to me today is that we all come to Easter Sunday for our own particular reason. We all experience the resurrection in our own unique ways, and we all need something different from this holy, unbelievable story. Why did you rush to the empty tomb this morning? And what do you need to hear so that you can see and believe for yourself? In John's gospel, Mary does not come to the tomb in order to prepare Jesus' body for burial, like the other accounts say. In this account, Mary comes with no spices in hand, no oils, nothing. Mary seemingly comes to the empty tomb without agenda, without a plan. She rushes to the tomb with nothing else in mind but a need to sit in her grief, to see the place where Jesus' body has been laid, and just spend a few moments in that space and weep. But when she arrives, she notices that the massive stone guarding the freshly hewn tomb had been rolled away and the body of her Savior stolen. They've taken Jesus' body, and she doesn't know who or what or where or why. It's confusing for us because to us, we see the empty tomb as a sign of hope and joy and resurrection because we know how the story ends. But to Mary, the empty tomb meant nothing but more pain. So she rushes to the disciples and she shares with horror what she had discovered. And they rush to the tomb as well because what they hear is just wholly unbelievable. The dead don't rise again. Dead things stay dead. Death is the end. It's final. It is finished. They watched Jesus die. They saw him bleed. They laid his lifeless body broken in that tomb. They don't know what to expect and what to make of this empty tomb when they ran there that morning, but resurrection sure ain't it. And after everybody leaves again, shaking their heads, Mary is left once again to sit by the empty tomb alone and weeping. That'll never happen. When pigs fly, fat chance. Like us, Mary had heard these things a time or two as well. She just knew that this story did not have a happy ending, and she was left there alone in her grief. That is, until she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it just yet, who she was looking at. Mary, assuming this person was a gardener, says, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And it isn't until Jesus says her name, Mary, calls her by name, that she recognizes her Savior standing before her. It isn't until he says her name that she understands what her eyes can clearly see. What we hear in our Easter story this morning is that the holy unthinkable, the holy unbelievable has happened. But even when we see it, with our own eyes, at times we can't understand what we are seeing. What we hear in our gospel story this morning is that all of our "that'll never happens," all of our "no chances," all of our "nevers" have been undone and rewritten. But have we trained our hearts to understand what our eyes can clearly see? The good news in our gospel story this morning is that the unthinkable, the unimaginable, the wholly unbelievable has happened. And it happens whether we understand it or not. And it happens whether we feel worthy of it or not. I ask you this Easter morning, what nevers are haunting you in your life? What never gonna happens have been pursuing you? That you're never going to be whole again, that you're never going to feel that faith again, that your spark of hope in your life will never enter again, that you're never going to be enough. If this is you this morning, let this Easter be a day where you roll back the stone in your mind so you can see for yourself that the holy unbelievable has happened, and it has happened for you. Christ is standing before you. God still is making all things new today, here, in your life. Easter is not just a nice story, a fairy tale long, long ago about how a guy named Jesus was raised from the dead. Easter is a story about how God refuses to let the never gonna happens win. Easter is a day where we can see with clear eyes that the holy unbelievable has happened, and that all the not possibles are possible. And on the days when you don't have the strength to see it for yourself and your faith has run out, know that you can always find hope here. here at the foot of the cross, here at the table, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and here in the voice of your Savior crying out and calling you by name. You all have rushed to the tomb this morning with never gonna happens echoing through your brain, and yet the risen Christ stands before you today, whether you recognize it or not, to rewrite all the never gonna happens, all the not possibles, and to show you once again that the holy unbelievable is still unfolding in your life. Hear the voice of Jesus calling you by name this morning, and let the stone of fear and doubt be rolled away in your mind. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Hooray! Amen.